listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, this is Alvin A. Craig, and we welcome you. Invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord to take the songs and the message and make them a blessing to you today. We open the musical part of our broadcast service with the selection, We Will Follow Him. Father, we thank you for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service to this precious people today. We're thankful for each one in our congregation, and we're trusting that you'll use us to be a blessing to these precious souls. And we realize for our broadcast to be a blessing, it must be blessed by thee. So we're asking for the anointing and for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he might be able to carry the message of truth to hearts, and the program will be a blessing to souls. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing the musical part of our broadcast service with the male chorus singing for us now, I Cannot Walk Without Him Holding My Hand.
I thought I
Our subject for today's broadcast is entitled The Christian Walk, and our text of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, that you walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. Now we read in the Bible about Enoch walking with God, and he was not because God took him. We also read in the Bible about Abraham walking with God. But the wonderful fact of the matter is that every true child of God can and is walking with God. And here the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to walk worthy of God, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. The Christian walk must be as Christ walked. So we read in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Now the word of God does not require anything of us but what the grace of God will give us the power to do. God is not unreasonable. God is not unjust. He will provide us with the grace that we need to obey his word. And here we are told in 1 John 2 and 6 that we are to walk even as Christ walked. We are to walk in his steps. We are to let our light shine that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, not out of respect or honor, but out of ridicule. They were mocking them. And the reason they were calling them Christians was because they were living the Christ-like life. They were walking as Christ walked. Christ's walk was an example for our walk. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 and 23. And we notice in this passage of Scripture that we are to walk as Christ walked, and that he did no sin. Neither was there any guile or pretense or hypocrisy in his mouth. And whenever he was persecuted and reviled, he did not strike back at the people. No, he suffered it, and he threatened not. But he committed himself to God who judgeth righteous judgment. And we are to walk as he walked. And we are not to strike back at people, but we are to show a Christ-like spirit even in the midst of persecutions, trials, and tests. Now to walk with Christ, we must deny ourselves. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. To deny ourselves, possibly one of the most difficult things for us to do. But if we're going to be a disciple of Christ, if we're going to walk as he walked, that is one thing that is required. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We're also told by the Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. No, a person who is knowingly sinned does not, or they are not, walking as Christ walked. They may profess to be a Christian, but they're not walking as Christ walked if they are committing known sin. For Christ did not commit any sin, and he walked free of it, and we are to do the same thing. Walk before God, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not you deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalm 56 and 13. Yes, God not only will deliver us from death, he will resurrect us from the dead state of sin to life in Christ, but he will also keep us and keep our feet from falling. In other words, we will not fail of the grace of God if we walk as Christ walked. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, so the psalmist said in 116 and verse 9. Now we are to walk humbly before God. He has showed you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. God will not walk with the proud and the haughty, but he will walk with the humble and the lowly. So God has showed us what is good, and he has told us what he requires of us, that we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with thy God. Walk in truth. I have no greater joy, the Apostle John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That's in 3 John and verse 4. It brought joy to John's heart to know that his little children, in other words, the disciples, walked in the truth. And I don't know of any greater joy that a true pastor can have than to know that his congregation is walking in the truth, measuring to the Word of God, accepting the truth that he preaches and living it out in their lives. We are to walk in love. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for the sweet-smelling savor. So Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, to walk in love. The love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, shows us what love will do, and it also shows us what love will not do. And Paul ends that chapter by saying these three, the greatest of these, that is faith, hope, and charity, or love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. I've said many times, and I say again on the broadcast today, only those who truly love God are living for God. For Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so we are to walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now we are to walk honestly. Yes, a Christian is honest. You can depend upon the word of a Christian. If he's a true Christian, I'm not saying he can't be mistaken about something, but I know this, I know that a true Christian will not deliberately tell something that is false and contrary to facts. And the scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 12 that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. We also read, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in reveling or chambering or wantingness, not in strife and not in envying. That's Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. So if we are walking in honesty, we can be depended upon, our word can be depended upon. And we are to walk circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Ephesians 5 and 15. And that word circumspectly means, at least in part, to walk carefully, to consider things carefully. Many times mistakes are made because we act too hastily and do not consider things as we should. So the Apostle Paul says, see then that you walk circumspectly, that you walk carefully, that you consider things carefully, not as fools, but as wise. Now, another point in regard to our walk, walking in holiness. Oh yes, I know many, many people fight the idea of holiness, and they say none can live free from sin, that all are sinners. But beloved, if you walk in holiness, it means that you are walking without committing sin. Sin is simply living contrary to the word and will of God, and holiness is living according to the teachings of God's word. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 8 and 9, a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean, and that's talking about the unsaved, the unclean shall not pass over it. The redeemed shall walk there, and the redeemed are the children of God, and they are walking in holiness. The highway of holiness is only walked by those who have been redeemed from their life of sin and have been taken off of the broad road and put on the narrow way. For the highway of holiness is the narrow way, and the narrow way is the highway of holiness, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him with fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So we read in Luke chapter 1, verses 74 and 75. And so if we are going to be a true disciple of Christ, then we're going to walk in holiness and in righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now, to walk as holy as Christ walked, we must abstain from all appearance of evil. So 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, and now this doesn't say that we are to walk from all evil, but it says we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. We're not to do those things that would appear evil, let alone do evil. Paul said this, and I'm sure he was inspired by the Spirit of God when he said it. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Again, that's 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22. And we're talking about if we're going to walk as Christ walked, we must do these things. We must have a holy manner of living. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In other words, in all manner of living. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. Put off all foolish talking and jesting, which are not convenient. So we are told by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 and 4. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now a promise to all those who will walk godly and walk with Christ, they shall not walk in darkness. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John chapter 8 and verse 12. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light,
We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Those that walk in darkness are living a life of sin. Darkness represents sin, false doctrine, evil, but light represents truth, purity, and holiness. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Again, John 8 and 12. Have God to walk in us. Isn't that a wonderful and a marvelous thought? Just think of that. God walking in us. Notice this passage of Scripture from 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a lofty state that is. There's no greater blessing, no greater state than this state that I have just read about. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, saith the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. And another thought when we think about a promise that God has given us, that we shall be with Christ. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may also behold my glory, which thou hast given me. And that's John 17:24, a part of the Lord's Prayer. He has prayed that we would be with him, not just for a short period of time, and certainly not for a 1,000-year reign, no, but we shall be with him eternally. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. And we read this in the Lord's Prayer in John 17 and 24. Now the Lord will be with us in death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they shall comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the church of God forever. Psalm 23 and 4 and 6. No, it doesn't say that in that psalm. It said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But the Apostle Paul tells us that the house of God is the church of the living God. I've said numbers of times, whenever a saint of God dies, they do not lose their membership in God's church. They just simply change their address. And so the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in God's house forever. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our congregation. Make them a blessing, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust it has been a blessing. If so, we invite you to write us, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. You can also join us in our services. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. And they are broadcast live over the internet, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Avner Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, will come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.